Well, good evening. This is Dan Miller from 48 Days. Most of you that are on the line or on the phone call have connection with us in some way, and I appreciate you being part of the 48 Days family. We're going to start doing weekly calls to highlight one of the 48days.net members. I am constantly amazed and blown away by the things that people are doing that are members there who really are sharing ideas, and not only sharing ideas but taking action to turn their dreams into reality. And one of the things that's a very common theme, as you know, is coaching. I look at everybody coming in and welcome them to 48days.net and realize that about 60% of the people there say that they would like to be involved in coaching in some way. So that's going to be our theme tonight. Now, not only on 48days.net, but on my larger audience, the audience that I have through my podcast and newsletters, again, a large proportion of those people are attracted to my material because in some way they would like to do what I do. And I've always been very open about that and said, what is it that I can do to help you? So I've tried to make things extremely available to help other coaches. I'm certainly not concerned about the competition putting me out of business because the needs are just absolutely overwhelming. If we all got up to speed and were effective as coaches, it would be like addressing the tip of an iceberg, especially in today's volatile workplace and just volatile world in general, where people are really trying to figure out what their purpose is, what they should be doing work-wise, and then all the other areas where they're looking for excellence as well, where if you are a sports coach, a nutrition coach, spiritual director, however you want to position yourself, there's plenty of opportunity there. Now, a couple details just along that line, and then I'm going to introduce Joel and get started here and tell you kind of how we're going to lay out the next 48 minutes. On 48days.net, you know that there's a coaches tab. And if you go there, you see those people who are endorsed 48 Days coaches. I trust that the information there is pretty self-explanatory as to how you can get yourself listed there, so I won't go through all the details. But if you are interested in that, then you can find the details there. In addition, I want to mention the upcoming coaching event that we have coming up yet this month. It's in a couple weeks, the 25th and 26th, here at the Sanctuary on our property in Franklin, Tennessee, where Ashley, my daughter, and I will be conducting a one-and-a-half-day intense program to just take you through the principles not only of how to coach effectively, but also how to grow your business effectively. My experience has been that a lot of people get credentialed or licensed in coaching. It's like a dentist learning the technical or clinical aspects of dentistry, but never learned the principles of running his own business. That's just as true for coaches, where they are effective communicators, competent counselors and coaches, but really have never understood how to grow that into a profitable business they can live on. So Joel and I are going to address a little bit of that. Those are just a couple of the details there. Now, in tonight's layout, I'm going to interview Joel and ask some of the things about what he's done in his coaching, but then we're going to go to questions in about 20 minutes. And the reason we're going to do that is because we have been inundated with questions. And I'm going to go through those as quickly as we can. Joel and I will kind of just bounce back and forth and go through a lot of questions because I think your questions touch on everything that I could have laid out as reasonable areas to cover in our discussion. So rather than Joel and I just discussing those kind of in the abstract, we're going to go to your questions as well. Now, that being said, I want to introduce Joel Baugus. Joel has been a friend of mine, and not just an acquaintance, but through this business of coaching.
Yes.
We first came in contact how long ago, Joel?
It's somewhere between 3 and 4 years, but
okay.
It's been a while. It's been pretty much my entire business experience, business and coaching.
Okay.
It's been, right alongside you. And
all right.
Ashley and the rest of your family.
Okay. Well, Joel has been one who has taken advantage of every opportunity to become more polished in the profession of coaching. Came in and certainly had the credentials to go off on his own and do that, but I think Joel's attended more of our live events than probably anybody else. Most recently, the cruise that we went on just a couple weeks ago. We just got back, well, last Saturday, I guess.
I think so.
And that was an awesome time, wasn't
it?
It was. And that was an experience where we were not just cruising and relaxing and soaking up the sun, which was a nice break from the weather most of us experienced in February, but it was also, again, a time of rich seminars. We had people sharing on there. Joel and Pei, his wife, were precious and important contributors in that process as well. Joel, tell us where you live, and we'll kind of start with that.
Sure. I'm in Colleyville, Texas. That's about 10 to 15 miles south of Dallas, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And my wife and I, we've lived here about 3 years or so and lived in North Dallas before that. And I'm originally from San Antonio. So lifetime Texan and frequent Tennessee visitor.
Yes, you are. All right. Now, you are married to a dentist.
I am indeed.
You have no children.
We do not.
So tell us a little bit about your academic background. That's going to come up repeatedly tonight because people are asking about credentials, licensing, and so on. So let's just kind of tell us where you are as it relates to those issues.
Sure. Well, you know, I went to Texas Tech for my undergraduate and got into broadcast journalism, media relations, things of that nature. But I wanted more. And when I trace my background and things that I've done from school to secondary school to college to later in life, it's always been helping people. It's always been empowering people. It's always been coming alongside people and helping them. And so as I went into counseling and studied counseling, went into counseling for a little while and did that, that was more along the lines with coming alongside someone and nudging them when they needed it. But then I quickly learned that, you know, maybe counseling is not the best fit for my personality style. Maybe I need something a little bit more action-oriented and a little more results-oriented. And that brought me into a relationship with one of our great coaches, Chuck Bowen, and then an introduction to you and your wife and family. And, well, that's how that was birthed.
Okay. All right. So now you've spent the last 3 or 4 years positioning yourself as a coach. Mm-hmm. Let's just kind of start with that. How did you position your – well, I mean, even before that, people often ask me, you know, can anybody be a coach? Mm-hmm. How would you respond to that, Joel?
Sure. Oh, that's actually a legitimate question. Can anybody be a coach? And before I answer that question has been asked of me by – clients. Before I answer that question, I really take some time to figure out, well, who would that person coach if they were a coach? Or what would they coach? Or what have they coached previously, maybe not even realizing that they're coaching? What have they helped somebody with, encouraged people with? And then I look at, well, why did they do it? And the why, W-H-Y, is very important. And people have different whys, but if you can tap into the why you want to do something, then the other questions seem to kind of answer themselves. So to answer your question, can anybody be a coach, I'd want to look further into, well, why do you want to do it, and who do you want to do it with or for?
One of the things that I often ask people when they ask me that question, I ask them, you know, are people coming to you now for advice and your opinion? If they are, and again, it could be a variety of topics. It may be about gardening, or it may be about cars, or it may be about health and fitness or careers. If they are, then it probably is reasonable to position you as a coach. So you take what is already there, the seeds of what is already there, and then really polish and perfect that. On the counterpart, if nobody is doing that already, then it may be questionable. Even if you went and got degrees and licensure and certification, it may be questionable if you're going to be successful as a coach if you don't have that history of people already coming to you and asking you about that.
You're right, and I completely agree. And that actually comes out in the coaching process. If that person has some recollection of, well, when they were in junior high, people generally gravitated to them, and then later in life, high school, college, into their adulthood. You're absolutely right.
Now, Joel, you mentioned that you have background in counseling, and I know that I often refer people to you where it's clear that there are issues beyond just career.
Mm-hmm.
People often have struggling relationships. It may have been precipitated by a career issue, and it may have been the other way around. Who knows? But I'm comfortable sending people to you because of your counseling background. How would you describe coaching as being different from counseling?
Sure. Great question, and actually a very legitimate question. Counseling is more about really looking backward and really understanding where something got out of alignment or where something didn't go as planned, where something kind of took a detour. And that's important, but coaching, to a certain level, that's important, but coaching is more action-oriented, and that fits in perfectly with my personal style. It's more about getting somewhere. And while it may be important, and I personally think it is important, to have some understanding of where you came from and what you've gone through in your past, because everybody has a story to tell and everybody can learn something from that story, I think it's even more important to really understand where you want to go, not just in your career, but also in your life. And that's where coaching differentiates from counseling, is coaching is about going somewhere.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Great description. So what have you done? Again, if you've just come online, this is Dan Meller, your host, and I'm interviewing Joel Baugus, one of our 48 Days coaches tonight, who lives just outside of Dallas, about his last 3 years of positioning himself as a coach, growing his business. What have you done to market yourself in your community?
Sure. Well, when I decided to become a coach, and I remember it like it was yesterday, Dan, I hung up my tie on November 30th, 2006. And if you remember one time at the sanctuary when we were taking pictures with Debbie Dearman, I didn't even wear a tie on that day. it's become against my policy, so to speak. But I hung up my tie November 30th, 2006, and went immediately into coaching. And I've learned through working with you and working with Chuck and all the great people that are involved in the 48 Days family, I've learned that the best way to success is to become the local expert. And so that's what I set out to do pretty much from day one, is I wanted to be the local expert. So when people were interested in finding the work that they love, or interested in finding their purpose, or interested in finding their passion, and then harnessing that passion, harnessing that purpose to lead them into work they love, I wanted them to come see me. So that is still my approach. I'm 3 to 4 years into it, and that's still my approach, to be known as the local expert and for people to call upon me.
Yeah. So what are some of the specific things you've done, though, to make your name come up when those issues come up in somebody's life?
Sure. Great question. I do workshops at churches. Happy to do that. Happy to help people. Usually get great response from them. Pastors are generally pretty receptive at someone coming in and then just offering a way of giving to the people that might be in need there at the church, people that might need a little bit of hope, a little bit of encouragement.
So you go in and do workshops and seminars for anybody, but out of that, it's readily known that you do personal coaching as well.
Absolutely.
And although the workshops may be free, your coaching then has fees associated with it.
Absolutely. And that's what I do, and I found that pastors are very receptive. When you talk to them and you talk about maybe coming in and doing a job search workshop or a creative job search strategy workshop or a resume workshop, and people will come out for that. And that's just another way of establishing myself as the local expert.
Okay.
And then, yeah, absolutely.
And they don't have, I know this is a real important question for a lot of our listeners, mm-hmm. because they may have already been doing, you know, free counseling, coaching in their church, teaching Sunday school, doing workshops, and they see it as a quantum leap mm-hmm. to then charge maybe even some of those own people for personal coaching. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that, you know, I did that for years in a church setting, did a community workshop then on Monday nights for 8 years, and out of that, I mean, that is what filled my schedule initially in coaching. It didn't seem to be uncomfortable or unexpected or a surprise to people where they would come to the group where you can address things in a group setting like that, but then to let them know, yeah, I'd be happy to spend time with you. You know, that is what I do as my profession. I am a coach. You know, here are three options, ways that you might get involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that kind of, do you have any particular tricks as to how you present that?
Sure. You know, I found that the pastors are very open at presenting me that way and introducing me. And what I've also found, Dan, is that pastors and the front desk staff, his or her assistant, and then the front desk person, they're usually very helpful at sending your material out to the people that go to their church. So I can think of this one workshop that we had, and it was a great workshop. 12 people showed up for it, which is real good on a Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. And I just asked the people at the church, you know, the pastor and the associated parties to just help me distribute the information. I made a little flyer, and I got it to them and asked them to include it in their church literature. And they're happy to help because it's helping their churchgoers.
Absolutely. I think that's very important, you know, to present it that way. You're not coming in selling something. You're coming in offering hope to people who are hurting and who need assistance in a variety of ways. But I think it really speaks to your credibility that, you know, you are so readily received. Let me ask you this, too,
sure.
because this is going to be a theme when we switch to the questions here. When you go in and you talk to a church and you talk to a pastor, how often does that pastor ask you what your academic degrees are, what your credentials are, how you're licensed?
You know, Dan, I can't really think of being asked that.
Interesting.
It might have come up once or twice in a question, just in conversation, but I don't ever remember being in the hot seat and someone having a clipboard out to see if I was qualified. I remember how I approach it. I would call Pastor Brewer, who's one of the pastors that I work with. I called him and told him that I wanted to help his congregants, his parishioners, and this is what I specialize in. This is what my expertise is. Love to come and put together a workshop, totally complimentary to all of the churchgoers and their guests, and, you know, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, and within a month, we got that on the calendar, and we've already done that, had a great attendance. Every seat was taken. A visitor actually came to the church, so it was actually a good outreach opportunity as well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I got an email from one of the gentlemen that went to that workshop. I think he emailed me. It must have been 2 or 3 days later, probably 3 or 4, actually. And he had followed specifically what we went over in the class, which was your material, Dan. It was the creative job search strategy. And he followed that to the letter. And I think, the workshop was Saturday. Tuesday, he emailed me and said one of the companies that he was trying to get an inroad with actually called him.
Mm-hmm.
And he shared that with me, and we shared that with the pastor, and that was just so encouraging.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Now, Joel, you talk about doing these complimentary workshops as a way to get your name out there, build credibility and reputation, and so
yeah.
on. Obviously, those are then generating personal coaching clients of yours. Like, I'm confident you aren't filling your schedule with free workshops with no back-end coaching. So that is an effective way of getting in front of people, having them have a very non-confrontational, you know, no-commitment approach to get to meet you, but then seeing who you are and what information you actually do have, then those people take the initiative and contact you for personal coaching.
Not only that, but the pastor has positioned you already
yes.
in their minds. And they people generally realize that if the pastor accepts you, then you're acceptable to them.
Boy, that yeah, absolutely. It's like
and that's the way it's been for me. I've been very blessed in that situation, and the pastor would introduce me and make no bones about it. You know, this is what he does for a living, and he's
mm-hmm.
here to help us out. And you know, if you need to get some coaching, you might want to talk to him a little bit after the workshop or at some
yeah.
other occasion. But this is what he does, and he's here to give himself. He's here to serve.
That's great. Now, I know that's one thing that you do. I know that you've also been very active in the academic community,
mm-hmm.
high schools and colleges. Give us a brief synopsis of what you're doing in that arena.
Sure. Very good. Yeah, there's a curriculum called Career Coaching for Students, and I used to be very involved with that. And that's all about helping high school students plan their life and know where to go after graduation. Sometimes it's technical school, sometimes it's a four-year university, sometimes it's right into the job market. It depends on the student. But the Career Coaching for Students is a very powerful tool to help a student understand not only their strengths, their gifts, their passions, but how they can harness them, what they can do with that. And the Career Coaching for Students, it's been very successful early on in my coaching career. And we put together, I think we had 80 people at our largest workshop. And that was students and parents. And we did that at a private school. And we saw a lot of success. That gained a lot of traction in the time that I did it.
Okay. All right. Now, there again, you have done some workshops, as I recall, and I just remember hearing about this, for high school students where you actually ended up getting parents as coaching clients. Am I correct in that?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. So, again, getting exposure out there, working with people who have a need that you know you can help them find the solutions for, mm-hmm. but that exposure continues to get you coaching opportunities. What
sure. As a matter of fact, what I'm remembering here is we did a workshop with 40 students at one of the private schools here locally in the DFW area, and I encouraged Dan all of the students to bring a parent with them so
mm-hmm.
we could go through this process together. And every single student, except for one, brought either mom or dad with them. And that was empowering to the whole situation. You can imagine. Because you're sitting right there not only with the son or daughter, but with his or her parent,
mm-hmm.
mom or dad. So you were really able to build the value in what you were doing. And the parent was able to see it firsthand. And I can recall one family that I worked with actually contacted me and worked with me privately with a son that was past high school but still needed to get some coaching, to get some traction, to understand where might be some of his better opportunities.
Yeah. Joel, I got just a couple more questions for you, and then
sure.
we're going to go to the questions from our listeners here, which
okay.
I'm eager to get to.
Yeah, me too. We've got plenty of them.
Oh, my gosh, and they're so insightful at some of the critical issues that I know are common questions for lots of people. So we have lots of them streaming in here. Just got one from a gentleman in Bogota, Colombia, whose name I recognize. Ah, yes, that's Cesar. Anyway, what have you done to just position yourself? I know that, well, here's an example. I saw recently... Didn't you do like a devotion at Zig Ziglar's company?
I did.
How? I'm sure that's interesting to people.
I did. It's yeah.
Okay, now I'm sure that you weren't working for or looking for direct coaching connections there, but that certainly doesn't look bad on your list of what you've done. How did you get in that position?
Sure, you know, I've been friends with Zig and his organization for about 4 years. They're local to the DFW area, so I just kind of introduced myself and over time was adopted into that culture. And Zig does devotionals at his office every Monday, and I had a story, and I wanted to tell my story, and I was given that opportunity. And actually, that was right at the beginning of my coaching experience. And so that's what we started off with. And I've been, as I mentioned, adopted into that culture. So I do a lot of writing, and I've been picked up several times in a Ziegler's newsletter just by creating that relationship.
Absolutely.
And, now, and that's a lot of traffic.
Well, one of the things that I want to just hammer home here is how much we're hearing again and again and again. You didn't go sit somewhere in an office with a fancy sign out front. You get out here, like few people I know, and ask for the opportunities. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because you had a long history in coaching or the finest degrees and credentials behind you. No, you knew you wanted to do this, and so you just got out here and created a lot of relationships that now keep your funnel full and have coaching clients streaming in the door. What other things have you done? Have you I don't know, but you know, have you spoken for civic groups? Have you had other kind of opportunities beyond schools and churches?
Sure, and I have. And that's a great segue to one of my coaching points that I talk to with people. One of the things that I'm a firm believer in, Dan, is to speak. And not just to speak to your local networking group, but to speak to people that are at a different level. And I'm talking about what you've already brought up, civic groups, like your Kiwanis Club, like your Rotary Club, like your Lions Club. The people that attend those meetings are people that have reached a certain level in their life. People in networking groups are generally there for a different reason. So it's a whole different clientele.
It
I don't
is.
Know if that's the right word, but it's a whole different audience.
Yes,
that you're speaking to, and that positions you differently. Instead of just at a networking group being another person to pitch your wares and to talk about why your product or service is the latest and the greatest, because that's what everybody's talking about generally at those networking functions, business networking functions. But to talk to people that are there to listen and that are there to learn and that are there to, that are eager to make a new friend, just as the speaker, you are as eager to make a friend of them. So a big believer in speaking to civic-minded groups.
And those groups are usually looking for good presenters every week of the year.
They really
if they're
are.
They're like the Rotary or Kiwanis or something where they meet weekly. And it's easy to get those opportunities, again, if you ask for them. I had a client probably 2 years ago or so now. A gentleman called me. He was a chief financial officer of a company where the CEO had just been killed. Just real unfortunate airplane accident, small airplane. 47-year-old CEO of the company, and they had no succession plan. His widow was terrified, and they didn't know who was going to be CEO of the company. He called me and said, "Will you help us screen candidates?" That's something that I do, and it was a very profitable engagement. But I asked him, I said, "How did you happen to call me?" He said, "4 years ago, you spoke to our Kiwanis luncheon, and when this came up, you were the first person I thought of." I thought, my goodness. You know, 4 years ago, I probably spoke for 20 minutes, had no expectation of being paid. You know, they usually give you a mug or a pencil. But it's amazing how those things do over time just increase your exposure, your reputation, and your credibility.
Well, I think it's all about just wanting to give away the best parts of you. and speaking to your local Kiwanis Club with no expectation of return, just as an exercise, is akin to tithing in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Just planting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And having that just not expectation, but that knowing that somewhere, sometime, that seed is going to come back to you and several times over in tenfold.
Absolutely. People often ask me, Joel, you know, what it was that I did in marketing that really tipped the scale. You know, what was the one thing I did? And I said, I have no idea. I can't identify one thing at all. I just did it all. You know, I spoke hundreds of times. I wrote hundreds of articles for magazines, newspapers. I did thousands of radio and TV interviews. Just confident that in the compilation, those things were going to build my business beyond my wildest expectations, and that's certainly been true. Joel, one last question.
Sure, sure.
People often think about coaching as, well, you have one person sitting across from you. So with that, there's an immediate ceiling. There's only so many hours in the day, so many days in the week. So no matter what you charge, you can only reasonably see so many people in the course of a week. Have you done things other than just one-on-one coaching to generate revenue?
Sure. Yeah, great question. And the majority of my practice is done in a one-on-one setting, but I have done workshops where there's actually multiple people attending the workshop and multiple people paying. I can give you two quick examples. There was a private school that we worked with, and this private school actually integrated our program into their curriculum. So we actually showed up 3 days out of their school year and worked the process during their regular school day. So let's see, there was 51 students there, and several of the parents came. There's another workshop that we did with another private school. Did that on a Saturday, mentioned this one earlier, and there were 40 students involved in that, and actually 79 total, because pretty much all of them brought either mom or dad with them. So yes, multiple clients going through the program at the same time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you're still relatively young in coaching and have done a remarkable job of building your business quickly. I'm an old timer, as you know, and one of the things that we'll be addressing at the coach training event here at the Sanctuary March 25th and 26th is going to be how to expand those revenue streams. You know, how to create audio products, ebooks, how to publish, whether it's self-published or get a publishing deal. You know, how to do instructional manuals. We're going to go through about 15 different things that I've done to create income that are all based on my affinity and love of coaching, but only one of those is direct one-on-one coaching. I still do coaching, and I work with two or three clients a month at this point. So that involves typically about half a day a week for me in direct coaching. Now, I still love it. But because of some of the other opportunities that I've developed that are all still based on coaching, and at one time, you know, I coach people 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. But as I built these additional revenue streams and other ways to generate income from my coaching expertise, I have diminished that because it gives me so much more time flexibility. Now, Joel, it is 7:33, and I want to switch. That means we've got about 15 minutes.
Okay.
We may go a little beyond that, but I want to just go through some of these questions that are streaming in. Now, I just sent you, I think, about six pages of questions.
Okay. I'm looking at the first three that you gave me. So.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to do is if we can just start at the same place. There's a question from a gentleman in Chicago. Do you see that?
Okay, sure. Let me open that up.
Okay. What we'll do.
Sure,
is,
yes, I do. Yeah,
okay. Let's start from there and work backwards. So you and I are kind of at the same place. So we can just see, and we'll just go through these. There's going to be a lot of overlap. So if one is one that we've already addressed, we can go on. But we'll just kind of, you take anything that you want, I'll do the same, and we'll just go through these. Question from Chicago. I'm almost 47 and want to change career fields to coaching. What are the expected skills and traits in this field? We've touched on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It just requires that somebody have a clear area of expertise.
It does.
Coaching is a new field, relatively. there are not clear criteria for what is required to be a coach. Now, there's a lot of training programs out there. There are actually over 300 organizations around the world that we've identified that offer certification in coaching. So with that, you can understand the standards are not very clear. There is an organization, ICF, International Coach Federation, that is probably the best known, has a clear code of ethics that I really embrace. And if somebody wants to go through a training program, there are so many available. If you want specifically Christian coaching techniques, I mean, there are wonderful organizations like Dr. Chris McCloskey, my friend's organization, where you can get that training. Golly, Sandra Lippelberg has a wonderful training program. There are a lot of them. We'll be happy to refer you to those. We do not do training for credentials. I want to stay away from that. At the same time, we do have a competency program where people can go through that, and it does require that to then be listed on the 48days.net coaching page. But well, I see people who have been CEOs of companies, you know, people who have been business owners. I mean, I see moms, stay-at-home moms, who are tremendous coaches for people who are peers of theirs or in perhaps the same kind of season of life. So, again, it's knowing that you have a clear area of expertise. This is not something that I would recommend, you know, for an 18-year-old to study coaching and call themselves a coach at 22. That's pretty tough to do.
Yeah.
You need some life experience that prove your competence in an area, and then you can, in fact, position yourself as a coach. Well, go ahead. You want to grab one, Joel?
Sure. Let's see. Joel in San Antonio says, starting anything can be volatile sometimes. And then he asks me, looking back on my first year as a full-time coach, what was the most positive experience, and then also the most disappointing surprise you experienced compared with your initial projections? And I think the most positive experience was just the willingness that people had to want to do something different with their life, wanted to do something different with their career. And that's one surprise, people in general. But also I found it to be very well received in the student market that I pursued there for a while. And the administrators helped me market that. Matter of fact, for a Bethesda private school, I mentioned that a few times already, the headmaster actually did all of my marketing. Once it was a green light project, once he and the board agreed to do it, he did all of my marketing, and he filled up the room for me.
Uh-huh.
And it was very well received, and that was the most positive surprise.
Okay. Bob asked a couple questions that are related. What recommendations do you have for people in very rural areas who want to start a coaching business? And then he says, I hear about so many opportunities out there, but how can you begin a coaching business and market in small communities with populations less than 35,000, surrounding counties or even smaller? Now, geography doesn't have much to do with coaching. See, if you want to coach, I mean, one of our coaches focuses on adults with ADHD. That's a very specific target. So if you live in a community of 35,000, you may have a very small prospect pool for that specialty. However, when you position yourself, you know, with a website, and you may have a blog or a podcast or a newsletter, you can address the needs of people who identify with that may live on the other side of the world. Geography has virtually nothing to do with my coaching. I could move from Franklin, Tennessee to Woodland Park, Colorado tomorrow, and it wouldn't make any difference at all in anything that I do. Mm-hmm. The coaching that I do, and Joel, you can add to this as well, the coaching that I do is probably 85% done via the telephone.
Sure.
Now, even with the 15%, that doesn't mean that those are people who live locally. I mean, I do have people from the state of Washington and Florida and New York, Pennsylvania. It's not uncommon that those people come here for the first of our sessions that we have in coaching, and then we do the rest via the telephone. Now, some I coach and I never meet them face-to-face, but you're better off not to focus just on the geography that you have, but on an area of specialty, and then you can expand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right on the money there. Glenn Averill asks, he asked, how can he become a coach when he's never had much success in the business world? And then he mentions that he's had limited success in the ministry, but really never any financial success. And Dan, I'm just going to piggyback on your answer, and it's developing that level of expertise. And there's 3 points to developing that level of expertise that I take people through. It's really identifying the who, W-H-O. The who brings out the best in you, you being the coach, not who's available, because there's a lot of people available to be coached, but really who brings out the best in you. A second point is do what, or in other words, what are you doing for that person? And I don't mean mechanically. I'm putting them through a process, or I'm coaching them on something. But what are you actually doing for that person? What are you providing for them at an emotional level? Are you giving them safety? Are you raising their level of awareness? Are you giving them direction? Are you helping them find something? What you're actually doing for that person. And then lastly, to round out Glenn's question, is why you're doing it. There's a reason why you do something. And when you're honest with yourself and when you're honest with your client about why you're really helping them in the way that you're helping them, that's the quickest connection between your heart and theirs. And that's what people look for, Dan, when they look for a coach. They look for someone that they can connect with, not just at a professional level, but at an emotional level. They want to know that you understand something about them.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Drew from Columbus, Ohio says, Dan, on a recent podcast, you talked about a weekly meeting you had for free years ago for 48 days that was also advertised in the area papers for free. What was the format of the meetings, and do you still feel this is a good promotional strategy? Yes, I started 48 days as a Sunday school class. It grew rapidly. We realized we had people from other churches coming there, and I thought rather than making it complicated for them, we'd do it on a weekday night. So we moved it to Monday night. I did that for 8 years. I did that in an outbuilding, a freestanding building of one of the area churches here. That was thrilled to have me do it because it was an outreach program. I never paid anything for that. They never paid me anything to do it. The meetings were absolutely free. Joanne and I would do those. We would have handouts that we gave to people. But we would typically have 70 to 80 people week after week in there, and that is what put me on the map as a coach. There's nothing that I could have done that exploded my coaching success more quickly than having that free weekly seminar.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Very good. Very good. Brian in Austin mentions that he's in the process of starting his coaching business, and he's focusing on business owners and growing their business. And he says that he's interested in how to best attract or to find prospective clients. And, Brian, one of the things that you want to do as that coach is to become the expert, to become the known expert. Understand exactly what it is that you're doing for that business owner or business owners. And you've told me, and you said it in the question, is you're helping them focus on their growth. Well, then be the expert on growing a business. Write to that. Start a podcast talking about helping business owners grow their business. Develop a fan page on Facebook. Start a group in 48days.net if you haven't done that already. And start using all these tools. And everything I've mentioned is free. Facebook's free. 48days.net's free. The other social media sites are free. iTunes is free. And those free marketing techniques can really help position you as the expert, the go-to person. So becoming the recognized expert on your niche.
Joel, I didn't even mention that, and I apologize for that. But one of the reasons I selected you is because of your activity at 48days.net. I mean, I look for people to highlight who are very active on the site. You started a group, a coaching group. You're very active in that group, and I know you've got – a couple hundred people or something in your coaching group. So that, too, I mean, that is talking to other coaches primarily, but it certainly gives you a format for testing ideas and building your own reputation as well.
Well, what you want to do there in the social media circles is you want to not promote to people because people aren't going to follow you or they're not going to pay attention to you or read you if you constantly promote to them. But what people are looking for today is people that inform them. So if you look at 48days.net, you'll probably see a daily blog of mine or some daily activity of mine. And that's me helping people get used to receiving content from me. Informative, I hope they find it informative, content from me, not just a promotion. And when people get into the habit of receiving information from you, then you're moved up on the list as far as top of mind awareness. So when the need does arise, or when they sense a shift coming, or that they need to find work that they love, or they need to tap into calling and purpose, you're the first person that they think of. Absolutely.
Okay. Let me grab a couple more here.
Sure.
Jeff from Minnesota says, what's a realistic income target for business and or life coaching? Great question, and certainly a legitimate one. I know that's on the minds of a lot of people. This, well, let me just tell you right up front. The average coach in America, I mean, well, I shouldn't even say the average, about 85% of people who call themselves coaches in America make less than $10,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can also quickly add that we know that the average real estate agent in Tennessee, as an example, makes a little less than $7,000 a year. Now, that's pretty sad. I also know real estate agents who, even in this economy, are making $200,000 and $300,000. The same is true in coaching. This is not like being a clerk typist 3 for the federal government, where you're going to have an income range that's going to be in a $5,000 window. If you want to make $20,000 a year as a coach, that's certainly reasonable. If you want to make $250,000 a year as a coach, that's certainly reasonable. Now, both of those are going to require that you have a clear strategic plan for how you're going to do that. You've heard Joel talk about how he has gone out, introduced himself to educators, pastors in the community to increase his base, do his workshops to fill that funnel. I mean, one of the things that I lay out very clearly in our workshops is the different streams of income that I have and what I expect as income in those areas. So the compilation of those gets pretty interesting. So if I have, you know, speaking, seminars, workshops, products that we do, affiliate relationships, other coaching relationships, books that I do, you know, if each of those, you know, generates $40,000 a year, then at the end of the day, I mean, it's pretty reasonable. So you have to be serious about this as a business.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at coaching just as a hobby, it may generate $10,000 and you feel good about what you did. But if you're serious about it as a business and you lay out a plan just like if you were going to start a restaurant or a hardware store or a bowling alley, then you can set whatever target you want and just create a plan.
Yes.
We do have some helps to help you lay out what that would look like and how to hit your targets there.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, Dan, just real quick, if our callers want to visit my website, it's 4pointscoaching.com, for the number 4 points with an S, coaching.com. If you want to visit there, and if you get a chance to sign up for my newsletter, I'd be more than happy to email you the simple strategic plan that I use with all of my business clients to help them get that clear plan and to get that focus. Happy to do it.
Very cool. Thanks, Joel.
Sure.
Susan from Los Angeles says, Dan, thanks so much for doing this. I have written and taught writing for years. I've coached several students one-on-one while they were writing books. They've given me nice praise. I would love to take my teaching coaching to the next step, but would love to do it to a room full at a time for an all-day seminar. I know I can do that, but how to begin? Do I need to build more of a reputation one-on-one first? I had a best-selling book out several years ago, and I'm fairly well-known in my area for giving seminars, talks, and moderating panels. Wow, Susan, it sounds like you are ready to go.
Yes.
I just today saw a promotion for a literary agent who has been pretty well-known as a literary agent, but that field, that profession has changed dramatically with publishing changing. So he has started doing writing workshops. And he's doing them across the country, but just announced the different cities. One of those happens to be Nashville. He's doing a 1.5-day seminar here, and I think it's $349. Now, again, he's not highly visible, and I don't know that he's ever written a book, but he's a literary agent, and he's doing a great job of marketing. That's really what it amounts to. Once you have a clear focus, you know you can help writers. A one-day seminar, even if you've been in the academic environment where you used to be in paid peanuts, there's nothing to prevent you, especially if you have the background, the history that you're describing, and already have established yourself as an author. You come to the table with a lot to offer. Just create a really great marketing piece that you can get out there. It doesn't have to be anything expensive. You can do it entirely on the web. Get people to respond to that. Just announce that you're going to do a workshop. If at the first one you have six people and they all pay $300, that's probably still, you know, more than you're used to getting from just working with students. But you can grow your reputation quickly if people really are convinced, you know, that you, again, have an area of expertise, which it's clear that you do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Joel, it's 7:50. I'll tell you what, I've got our recording will allow us to go about 8 more minutes. So you take a couple, I'll take a couple, and we'll have to wrap up.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Jeff in North Texas, he asks about for one or two of the things that I find that differentiate successful coaches from those who are just struggling to get by. And I think that's what the theme that we've been talking about for the last 5 or 10 minutes. So I'm just going to tag on to that. You know, Jeff, having that clear plan, really understanding who you want to coach, not just who's available, but who brings out the best coach in you. And also, what you're going to do for them. Are you going to help them find the work that they love? Are you going to help them get in touch with their purpose, their calling? What are you actually going to provide for them? And then why you're going to do it. And putting those three components together and using the simple strategic plan or some other good document to really lay out that plan that's the tipping point. That's the tipping point between successful coaches and coaches who just fly by the seat of their pants and just barely have enough clients.
Yeah. We've got several questions here. It's probably 10 that address this common issue, so I'm going to paraphrase
it. Sure.
People are saying, I'd like to do career coaching. I know I can do it well, but how in the world am I going to make a living in this economy when people are just struggling to get by? And perhaps this isn't even a good time because people are just paying for the absolute necessities. Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, let me just kind of hammer that one real quick. If this is not the best opportunity history has ever given us to be a career coach, I don't know what would be. I mean, to me, this is all gives a career coach an unfair advantage because there are so many people who need our services. Now, here's the key, though. If you have the mindset that, well, people are just paying for bare necessities, certainly not for the luxury of coaching, guess what? When we're back, when the economy swings back around and we're at full employment, those same people are going to be saying, well, nobody needs us now. Why would anybody pay when they can just go out and get any job they want? See, what happens is your mindset precedes the reality of what you're able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this last year has been a very tough year in the economy. But frankly, that's been like pouring gasoline on everything that I do. I mean, I had a very successful year last year, and it was a really low year in terms of book advances and royalties just because of the way some of my books are in placement right now, just the timing. But, I mean, everything else just exploded for me. So you've got to believe that the opportunities are out there, and this is not just some cheap, you know, positive mental attitude, but, I mean, this is an environment where you ought to be able to just rock and roll. Now, if you are just, you know, helping people who are, you know, just at the very bottom socioeconomically, and they just lost a job at, you know, Burger King. Now, certainly you can provide ways to help those people, maybe in group seminars, but you probably can't spend one-on-one coaching time 20 hours a week with people for whom, you know, $50 for a counseling or coaching session would be out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
So adjust your market, but believe me, this is an opportune time to do that. Well, Joel, take one more question. I hate that we can't just keep going through these. We could go for 3 hours, and certainly there'll be other times in our calls like this where we'll address coaching because it is such a common theme. But, Joel, take one more question, and then I'll do a wrap-up.
Sure, very good. Well, Bob asked that he says that he's currently teaching 48 days at his church, and Right now, they're just charging for the cost of materials. And then his question is, how can he turn it into a profitable coaching business? Well, Bob, you've already established a platform to develop your expertise. Now it's just becoming more known throughout your community and being able to offer those services. Dan mentioned at the very first of the call, having some options where when people want to learn more and they want to visit with you more and they want to work with you more, there are some alternatives there for them to choose at differing levels of engagement. So the platform is already there. You've done a great job being established in your church. It just takes a clear plan to step into that next phase of your coaching development. Best of luck with that. Absolutely.
Great. Joel, thanks so much for your contributions. Again, this is Dan Miller. I've been interviewing Joel Baugus, coach from Collierville, Texas, just outside of Dallas area. And Joel, I appreciate your input, your involvement at 48days.net. Again, Joel's got a coaching group on 48days.net. 48days.net is a free social networking site. I hesitate to use the word social networking because of what it seems to imply with Facebook and MySpace and those. This is not just for dilly-dallying around. These are people who are serious about building their businesses, taking ideas that they have and turning them into extraordinary income. But Joel heads up one of the coaching groups there, so you're welcome to jump into that and continue the conversations that we're having here, mm-hmm. continue questions that you may have for Joel. Now, again, I want to just mention that we've got our next Coaching with Excellence training event coming up here at the Sanctuary just outside of Franklin, Tennessee, in the converted barn that we call the Sanctuary, but it has our fulfillment center in it for all of our products. It has guest quarters here and then my offices, but it's a fun place to come, as Joel can attest to, and we'll be having an event here March 25th and 26th. There's a link in the email that you got, or you can always go to 48days.net and just go over on the right-hand side, click at events at the Sanctuary, and you'll see that come up along with the other events we'll be having here, Living, Loving, Working, an event that Joanne and I do together. There's one for writers that we'll be doing here, and it's less expensive than the $349 I was talking about earlier for what I saw coming up locally here, but we'd love to have you come here sometime during the course of this year. We're also putting together, I now have the options narrowed down for planning the next 48 Days cruise, which will be in February of 2011. So we've already got people asking about that. Joel, I think you and Pay were the very first ones that said, we're in. When's it going to be? Sign me up.
Well, I wasn't first for this last cruise, and that kind of motivated me to, as soon as I got home from a flight on Saturday, to get back on the stick and get in touch with you because I wanted to be the first this time.
Well, we're narrowing the options, and we'll probably be able to announce that within the next 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
Again, Dan Miller, thanks so much to all of you listening and on the web, being a part of this. I take your interest and your time very seriously, and we're delighted to have you as part of what we're doing. This is a team effort. This is not top-down. I don't have all the answers, but I'm always feel honored and privileged just to be a part of working out the success for the path that each of you are on as well. So have a great evening, and we'll be announcing next week's call in the next couple days. Good night.
Good night.